Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Business, the radio program of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Today we bring you highlights from the Chamber's post-budget analysis held on Wednesday, March 18, 2026 at the Hilton Barbados Resort, where members of the business community and government gathered just 48 hours after the national budget was delivered. Coming on the heels of the presentation by Minister of Finance Ryan Strachan, the session provided a timely and critical opportunity for stakeholders to examine the measures announced and assess their likely impact on businesses across Barbados. The discussions reflected a strong interest in understanding how the fiscal policies will shape economic activity, investment, and growth in the months ahead. Stay with us as we break down the key insights, reactions and perspectives emerging from that important forum right here on the BCCI's Let's Talk Business. First, we hear from Paul Innes, president of the BCCI.
So I first want to thank PwC for its continued partnership and support of this forum. We appreciate your continued commitment and thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. In welcoming our minister, we appreciate the time that you have taken to grace us with your presence. We don't take it lightly or for granted, and we look forward to hearing from you. Members of the business community, our social partners, and all those joining us this morning, we warmly welcome you and look forward to your participation and contributions this morning. This forum matters because it gives us an opportunity to pause, step back, and think about an important question. I'm sure you're wondering what that question is. Well, for me, and I think from the chamber perspective, the question is, what kind of economy are we actually building? What are we actually building? Not just what the headlines say, not just what a proposal or paper may say, but what is the real day-to-day experience of doing business in Barbados? I would put it this way. What is the real day-to-day experience of getting things done in an efficient and effective way in Barbados? So we have to be fair. Barbados is making progress. Barbados has made progress. Just look at the macroeconomic stability of the economy. In this budget, there are measures that the business community welcome, particularly where there is some immediate relief and practical support aimed at easing pressures within our system. But it is equally true that many businesses are still not feeling progress in the way they should. They're still carrying high costs, high operating costs. They're dealing with inefficiencies, in delays, friction in too many parts of our system, and they're trying to compete, invest, and grow in an environment that remains harder to navigate than it needs to be. From the chamber perspective, we think that is the gap that we need to close. Because growth in the abstract is not enough. If the economy is improving, then we must experience, or the experience of doing business must improve too. It must show up in productivity. It must show up in our responsiveness. It must show up in how goods are moved. It must show up in energy, reliability, and costs. And it must show up in whether businesses can operate with confidence and certainty. So from the chambers perspective, several issues remain central. The first is on all of our agenda, the cost of doing business. I would add the ease of doing business. The related question of productivity is one that we can't run from. Because productivity is not only about how hard people work or how long they work, it is also about whether the systems around them allow them to work efficiently and effectively. When time is lost or not appropriately managed, there's loss. The second is port efficiency and trade facilitation. I must say that the Chamber has been participating in a forum led by the government of Barbados to actually influence port efficiency within our country, and we appreciate that initiative. But when goods move slowly and processes drag, costs rise across our systems. I would also like to speak directly to the Bridgetown revitalization. From the notes I've read back in time, this was on our agenda, I think, from 2008. Lalu is not here. He would probably correct me if I'm wrong. But proposals, submissions, discussions were on the board with a firm, clearly articulated strategic plan to actually revitalize Bridgetown. The Chamber is very happy to hear the government committing to working with the private sector on this particular issue. The third is fuel pricing and wider energy costs. And the fourth is energy resilience, where Barbados must continue to transition to renewable energy. And the transition must be practical, resilient, and capable of supporting business continuity and long-term competitiveness. But this is not only about what government should do, could do, or will do, and I would probably say must do. The business community have some responsibilities. If we're going to call for higher standards, we must implement and uphold higher standards. If we're going to speak about productivity, then we must invest in the appropriate resources and systems that encourage, influence, and help our people deliver in a more responsive, productive way. Therefore, I say we must all be accountable to each other. And that brings me to the final point that matters most. Barbados does not lack ideas or strategy. We lack the ability to make strategies work. And some people might say execution, but for me, the broader context is, how do we make proposals and strategy work? And we need to figure that out. We need to solve that. And we have the capacity and the ability to do that in this country. So that is why the Chamber continues to make the same point. And this point I've been making from the time I became president. We need to be able, there's a small country, we need to be able, and the transformation of Barbados is built around the six missions. We need to be able to create a framework that actually produces a scorecard on a quarterly basis where the government is held accountable and the private sector is held accountable, and we actually, on a quarterly basis, communicate to this country where we are in terms of the progress being made on the six missions. I don't think that we've done a good enough job there. So a scorecard built on SMART goals with a one-year horizon, quarterly reporting cadences so that the country can see clearly what was promised, what has been achieved, and what is still to be achieved. Because if we say we want to improve the ease of doing business, then we must be prepared to measure that. I think that is how confidence is built. That is how credibility is built. And that is how we move from intention to execution. Thank you.
We now hear from Sophia Weeks, East Caribbean Tax Engagement Leader at PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Thank you for joining us today. So by now you would have already received our detailed insight on the budget and seen other comments on IG, e-papers, and other platforms. And if you're old school, probably over 50, you probably had a good hard copy of a newspaper so you could read. So today, not saying anyone's age, so today I will not bore you with a full recap of the key tax and fiscal measures arising from the 2026 budget, but rather I will try to focus on some specific areas which may be of interest to you. So this budget was somewhat significant because it marked the first fiscal year since Barbados exited from the IMF program, signaling that our country has regained a greater degree of autonomy in shaping and directing its economic and fiscal future. At a broad level, the budget reflects an emphasis on resilience and targeted relief. The government has sought to strike a balance between supporting growth and competitiveness, while remaining mindful of the ongoing pressures being faced by households and businesses in this increasingly uncertain global environment. The budget was framed in an economic context where Barbados's debt to GDP ratio continued on a downward trajectory. And now, at January, it was at approximately 93.3%. We've had 19 consecutive quarters of growth, with real GDP expanding by an estimated 2.7% in 2025. We also had an historic decline in our employment rate, now at 6.1%. And reserves now exceed Barbados' $3 billion, covering 27.4 weeks. These indicators are important for you, the business community, as they indicate macroeconomic stability and fiscal credibility, which are key for investment and long-term planning. That being said, the minister acknowledged that cost of living pressures, energy volatility, and global uncertainty continues to weigh on both households and corporate decision-making. A substantial portion of the budget was therefore directed at providing targeted relief in various areas, some of these being personal tax, relief through both marginal rate reductions on the taxable income bands, expansion of reverse tax credits, and for pensioners, the increase in the tax-free allowance from $50,000 to $75,000, and the $100 monthly cost of living cash credit for those earning income below $50,000. The credits take effect for income year 2025 and will be claimed in the tax return being filed for income year 2026. While the rate reduction flows through the PAYE from income year 2026 onward, these measures put extra funds in taxpayers' hands, particularly pensioners, to help offset Barbados's ever-rising cost of living. The minister outlined that the government had hoped to go further with middle-class tax cuts, but these plans were adjusted in response to ongoing geopolitical uncertainties. However, companies should prepare to update their payroll systems to reflect the new marginal rates for this income year. In addition, there will be a 5-year personal income tax deduction on the cost of replacement batteries for electric and hybrid vehicles from April 1st, 2026. Energy. As we all know, energy and freight costs affect almost everything a business does, from bringing goods into the country, keeping the lights on, getting products to customers. And when all prices and shipping costs go up, as they have certainly and recently, businesses pay more at every single step. That means smaller profits, higher prices for consumers, and harder choices about where to spend and where to cut, all at a time when businesses can least afford to do this. Therefore, the government outlined various measures with respect to energy, which include the absorption by government of 50% of the increase in the fuel clause adjustment on electricity bills for a three-month period, and the hedging of heavy fuel oil at U.S. $92 per barrel, also for a three-month period. Extension on the VAT cap on fuel to March 2027, and reduction of excise tax on gasoline and diesel by 10 cents per liter for a three-month period. Free onboard values will now be used for selected imports in order to reduce inflated duty bases driven by high freight costs. These measures should shield households and companies alike from sudden spikes in their electricity bill caused by the volatility in the price of oil. In addition, from April 1st until March 31st next year, the value for 20-foot and 40-foot containers will be capped at $3,000 U.S. and $6,000 U.S. respectively, for the purpose of calculating customs duty and VAT for costs, insurance, and freight. The announced customs duty reforms offer tangible benefits for businesses. When the government uses free onboard or FOB values for certain imports, customs duties are determined by the price of the good up to the loading point. This method leaves out the frequently fluctuating costs of ocean freight and insurance. This change means that businesses will no longer face inflated duty tax bases when global freight costs spike, resulting in more predictability and potentially lower import expenses. Additionally, capping the value of 20 and 40-foot containers at U.S. $3,000 and $6,000 respectively for customs duties and VAT calculations from April this year to March 31st, as I mentioned before, provides further certainty. This cap shields businesses from unexpected increases in supply chain costs, especially during periods of high shipping rates, and it also allows for improved budgeting and financial planning. Ultimately, these measures help businesses manage operating costs more effectively, enhance competitiveness, and reduce the risk of freight-driven inflation being passed through to end customers. I think it has been quite a few years since tourism received specific concessions in the budget. However, this sector has received an automatic 3-year extension of concessions under the Tourism Development Act for those properties with concessions issued on or after 1st January 2005. Properties with concessions issued on or after the 1st of April 2020 are not eligible for the automatic extension. In addition, there will be duty-free concessions on spirits for standalone restaurants, reduction of VAT for eligible rental companies, eligibility of car rental companies for duty, excise, and VAT exemptions on hybrid and electric vehicles, reduction of air travel fee for regional travelers. These measures will assist in keeping the vital tourist industry competitive and afloat, in a time where tourists, both regional and international, face with already increasing flight costs. Security was also addressed through the creation of two dedicated gun courts, expansion of the police force, and the removal of duties and VAT on CCTV and alarm systems for residential properties. One would ask, why mention security along with tourism? And my response would be that if Barbados is not seen as a safe place to be, will we see the many tourists visiting Barbados? I leave that question with you. Small businesses will see an increase in VAT the VAT registration threshold from $200,000 to $350,000, and this is effective October 1st, 2026. There will be an increase in trust loan limits from $10,000 to $20,000. This VAT measure should result in the reduction in the administrative load to small businesses. However, entities should monitor their revenue levels to determine when to register and if they need to deregister as well. The increase in the trust loan limit will support small businesses having further access to funds, which is a welcome relief, as we often hear small businesses talk about the inability to obtain financial backing. So let us talk about another measure, beneficial ownership registry. A beneficial ownership register is a centralized record that identifies the real individuals. That is, the actual people who ultimately own, control, or benefit from a company, a trust, or other legal entity. Even if that ownership is held indirectly through layers of corporate structures, nominees, or intermediaries. In simple terms, it looks behind the company name on the paper and asks one question: who actually owns or controls this business? The purpose of such a register is to promote transparency and prevent the misuse of corporate structures for illicit purposes, such as money laundering, tax evasion, terrorist financing, or the concealment of illegally obtained assets. It is a standard feature of modern regulatory frameworks globally and is a key requirement of international bodies such as the Financial Action Task Force and the Organization of Economic Development. For Barbados, this registry will reflect our alignment with international standards and reinforces Barbados' position as a well-regulated jurisdiction, which is important for maintaining the confidence of international investors and the global business sector. Companies should begin reviewing their ownership records now to ensure they are prepared when the requirements come into effect. Now, it would be remiss of me not to talk about transfer pricing, seeing that we have a specialist on our team. So I hope I do justice to this. We have been waiting with anticipation for this legislation to be passed. I think it was promised in 2023, it was promised in 2024, and I think also in 2025. And now we are promised it for 2026. Transfer pricing refers to the prices charged between related parties, such as a parent company and its subsidiary, or two companies that are under common ownership. And this occurs when they transact with each other across borders. These transactions can involve the sale of goods, the provision of services, the lending of money, or the licenses of intellectual property. In simple terms, when two companies are part of the same group and they do business with each other, transfer pricing is the price they agree to charge. The concern from a tax perspective is that because these companies are related, they might set prices that are not reflective of what two independent parties would agree to on an open market. Barbados already enforces the arm's length principle through a section of our Income Tax Act, which empowers the Barbados Revenue Authority to adjust related party transactions to their fair market value where conditions differ from those between independent parties. Businesses in Barbados should anticipate that the forthcoming transfer pricing legislation will formalize existing arm's length requirements under the section of the Income Tax Act and introduce Organization of Economic Development aligned documentation obligations, including such things as master files, local files, and country-by-country reporting, which most persons know Barbados has country-by-country reporting already. Companies should be aware that a corporation tax return already asks whether TP documentation exists. Creating a de facto risk assessment mechanism that may flag taxpayers when answering no for, and this could result in increased scrutiny. In practical terms, this means businesses must begin reviewing your intercompany arrangements. Make sure you have the relevant documentation, strengthen governance and your record keeping, and align policies with economic substance to mitigate both current and future transfer pricing risks in an environment of rising transparency and enforcement. In closing, we named our insight resilience in uncertain times. And I thought, what does this really mean for us as a people, as a business, as a country? And it was mentioned in the budget about 10 times from what I noticed. So resilience means demonstrating a capacity to absorb external shocks without compromising the basic stability of a country's public finances, the functioning of its institutions, or the welfare of its people. I'll read that again. It means demonstrating a capacity to absorb external shocks without compromising the basic stability of a country's public financing, the functioning of its institutions, or the welfare of its people. Resilience also means having built sufficient fiscal buffers during periods of relative calm so that when a crisis arrives, whether a pandemic, a hurricane, God forbid, or a sudden surge in global oil prices, the government has the capacity to respond without reversing the hard-won gains of prior years. It means that reserves have been accumulated and compliance frameworks have been strengthened so that the country is not forced into reactive destabilization policy choices under pressure. Resilience is not the absence of difficulty. It's the ability to face difficulty from a position of preparedness. A resilient country does not promise its citizens that external shocks will not occur. It promises that when they do, the institutions, finances, and frameworks are in place to manage the impact and protect the most vulnerable, as well as maintain the conditions for recovery and growth. The budget appears to have addressed these issues. Now, the government needs to ensure that the suggested measures are swiftly implemented, and where relevant, the necessary guidance notes are issued so that the legislation is very clear. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Let's Talk Business, as we brought you highlights from the Chamber's post-budget analysis held on Wednesday, March 18th at the Hilton Barbados Resort, where members of the business community and government gathered just 48 hours after the national budget was delivered. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.